Hey, podcasters. Welcome to another episode of the Applied Clinical Trials Podcast. My name is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials. And for today's episode, I will be highlighting some of the insights I was able to gather from attending SCOPE Europe in Barcelona a few weeks ago. First off, I had the pleasure of speaking with Tony Mikuliszczyk, who is the VP of eCOA for IQVIA Technologies. Let's start off by listening to some of his thoughts on the integration of eCOA and digital health technologies in clinical trials.
So I think when you take a look at the applying eCOAs to clinical trials and being able to get the importance of that, the data is incredibly important. So there's several disciplines involved in being able to effectively gather that information. And it all starts, this is gonna be a multiple layered answer for you. So initially, you have to understand what data you're collecting and why you're collecting it. It's one of the things I talked about earlier this morning, and that is, you know, a sponsor and the protocol needs to have a very clear understanding of what information they require, so you don't get too much information or you burden the patients too much. So the overall COA strategy is incredibly important for the individual protocol or the actual clinical program that the sponsor is developing. So it kind of starts there. Once that's defined, the implementation of those COAs to be able to collect the data. So now, you asked about a challenge. So thinking about the technology of taking that questionnaire and putting it into a platform, that technology challenge really isn't there anymore. It was, 10, 15 years ago. There's a lot of platforms out there that you can do click and drag. Ours in particular, it's really easy for us to develop a COA. We can typically do it in less than 24 hours, very complex one. That's the easy part. What gets a little bit more complicated that the industry needs to keep focusing on, there's two things. One, reading the protocol and understanding the events and the actions that are needed for the subject and for the site, there's ClinRows and ePros in there. So what's the most effective way for the clinician to be able to collect their information, or for the patient to be able to collect their information. So, those events, those trial events are really important. And then the next thing that the industry is currently facing, it's challenging, and it's challenging for everybody, and that is we're dealing with localization and translations of COAs and making sure that you stick true to the instruments and you go through a linguistic validation process and the timelines associated with that. One of the things that we try to do is make sure that we get the correct translation, we implement it correctly within our system, and then that allows us to reuse that translation if it's a public domain instrument. And that helps reduce that timeline. But it takes time to develop the library that has that type of information. And quite honestly, it's important to gather the translations, and as a sponsor goes and looks at the community and the diversity requirements for a clinical trial, it expands the need to be able to gather those translations and manage the translations to make sure you have the correct meaning behind those COAs. So I think those are the two predominant areas. The challenges that we have is that the value chain to get it implemented, and then the actual, let's just start with the strategy. The FDA and the EMA are put an emphasis on gathering the voice of the patient. So we all have to do that. It makes sense. And so you have to have that strategy defined up front.
Tony then shared his perspectives on what regulators are currently looking at in the technology space.
So a couple things with that one. So about 11 years ago, there was some guidance provided by the FDA. And it was kind of generic guidance. And right now, what we're seeing is that there's four draft guidances out from the FDA right now. They're not finalized, but they're draft, and they're really good draft guidances on how our industry, what kind of information should be collected, how it should be collected, things to be thinking about. I don't know when the final it's going to turn into regulation. Hopefully sometime next year. The FDA is working through that. I know last year they solicited feedback, but there's four draft guidances. So those are really helpful to the industry right now. And so I think what we're seeing from a COA standpoint and the technologies that COAs utilize is a greater acceptance and a greater need for that information. The FDA is very interested, like I had said, in capturing the voice of the patient, so to make that data as a part of a clinical submission. So having the rules and the regulations to collect that data is very important. I think they realize that. So it's good guidance. You know, hopefully, you know, it becomes final guidance next year, or pieces and portions of it will. I think COVID is another thing that kind of helped spur some of that, because it helped push BYOD and utilization of bring your own device technologies and continued to not necessarily enhance, but define how DCTs can be utilized. So there's a lot of good information in that guidance that people should be following and looking to follow when it becomes regulation.
I also had the pleasure of moderating an interactive panel on ECOAs and digital health technologies. The participants in the roundtable were Dr. Estrella Garcia Alvarez, Senior Director, Global Clinical Operations, R&D at Almirall; Scotty Kern, Executive Director of the ECOA Consortium at the Critical Path Institute; Brian McDowell, Vice President of ECOA Clinical Science and Consulting at Clario; and Bart Rufthoft, Head of Digital Health Solutions at Janssen. While many important topics were addressed by these industry leaders, my favorite part of the conversation was when they addressed terminology in this space, which we'll take a listen to right now.
Yeah, it's a really important point. You just illustrated by that discussion there that we don't have alignment on the table here. I think there's a couple of different factors to it. There's definitely efforts to harmonise, and in the context of ECOA, something that the ECOA Consortium has been involved with is developing a common lexicon. It took a lot of time, a lot of effort, and contributions from sponsors from the PRO Consortium as well. We don't really know if it's being used. Second component of that is that from a marketing perspective for some technology providers, they want to create novel terms to describe what their technology does, right? It's not helpful because we end up thinking some things are different when they're not. And I think the third and most compelling issue really is for me is around the divergence in definition amongst the regulators. Because ultimately that's what really matters. And we have I won't go into great depth, but where we have the issue of clinical outcome assessments being very clearly defined by FDA, biomarkers being very clearly defined by FDA, but those definitions don't map exactly to what EMA has. And the Mobilize DE project, which some of you will be familiar with, is a great example of that, because when they're developing assessments, digital measures to assess mobility, they themselves define them as biomarkers, but when we look at them, they're COAs. So I feel very strongly that we need to start addressing this on a global scale.
Fully agree with you. No, and for me, even if within us is not clear, imagine for the investigators and for the patient. Because at the end of the day, all this technology, I love technology, we try to innovate in Almirall, in the clinical trials, in every single project and study. But at the end of the day, our main customer and we have the patients in the core of everything we do. And if we are adding hurdles to both the investigators and side staff and to the patients, at the end of the day, we are not gonna get our objective, that is developing drugs. So I think that if we only talk about technology and how to integrate, and we don't carefully analyze how this is impacting on a daily basis at the hospitals and to the patients, we are gonna be lost. So we need to bring them on board and agree with them on the technology and the needs to integrate everything and how we can save their time in selecting the patients, in getting the data from the patients, etc., etc. But this is my particular point of view from a pure operations person.
I make a quick point there. I agree, it would be great to get harmonized terminology, but we could spend 15 years just trying to do that, and I think it would change as we go forward. Languages, just by themselves, evolve into different areas and different meanings of words. So we could spend a long time. I think we've got to understand and be on the right page, at the very least, to have these discussions, rather than a clear, strong one definition in a single language. I think that's going to be quite difficult to get globally, in a huge industry that spans across the world and touches upon all the investigators, the industry, patients, etc. I think it's a big challenge that we could spend too long doing, rather than getting on with putting the right solutions in place to bring new drugs to the market.
I think there's also, going back on, or being on the topic of terminology is that digital health is a broad term, right? It covers a lot of areas. So you can speak about the digital health capability, speak about the digital health technology, a digital system. So it has different aspects depending on where the term of digital health is going to be used. And also coming back on the operational impact to a patient or to a site, it's really then also important to understand that journey from a site, from a participant perspective, and implementing a tablet or implementing a wearable, a watch that has additional hardware, software concerns, that also has a broader impact to the rollout of digital technologies overall.
I just want to come back to Brian's point, if I may, because I acknowledge that we've got work to do. You guys have got work to do as clinical operations experts. I think the difference between a biomarker and a clinical outcome assessment is too big a thing to just kick down the road. I really think we have to grab that. ICH was put together, one of the intentions of ICH was to develop GCP, which is undergoing revision of E6 right now, which governs a lot of what we do. I don't think we can just say we're too busy to deal with this because we've got trials to do. My own personal opinion is that I think we should grab that. And I think we've got the capacity now. I know FPIA have done a great piece of work in trying to develop a lexicon of sorts. I think the Digital Medicine Society are kicking that off as well. I think there's an opportunity just to get the regulators at the table to realise the efficiency in harmonising will have global impact.
So I agree with this. I'm just thinking it would take an awful lot of time and effort to get to that point. I think we've got to move down the road. Maybe I'll just do a quick poll here. When we look at wearables that capture mobility, does anybody here believe that is a peripheral? Is that under the ECOA perception? Who thinks this is under ECOA or who thinks it's under digital health technologies? For ECOA? Okay, I would assume the rest either don't know or isn't a DHT. So we're already seeing something that's quite simple and in use, that there is already changes around there. So we do need to. I think it's good, but we also see with regulations that everybody will try and interpret them themselves, even if they're very clearly defined. So even with a good definition, people will look for ways to reinterpret what that means. So we just need to be aware of that. I'm not saying don't do it, but do it with the sort of moral obligation to move things down the road and not to spend the next 10 years trying to define something that's really hard-baked.
And that will wrap up today's episode. As always, thanks for tuning in, and for additional coverage of Scope Europe, including the ECOA Roundtable in its entirety in video form, you can visit the conference coverage section on our website.